different scenarios. One was the notion of risk, whether that be risk to an older person, risk to children. The fact that having joined up records might actually prevent people from talking to each other about things, or take away discretion in relation to what information is passed between agencies, and have a kind of paradoxical effect. We also talked about the assumption that what is needed are ever more efficient electronic proxies for conversation, and in fact you can never have a kind of moral humane practice of trying to look at families' needs in the round if you assume that this can be done by passing information electronically, not through proper conversation and debate. Also the assumption that system failures, obviously large national scandals like Baby Peter and so on, that when these are reviewed there tends to be a kind of predictable mantra about it being to do with failure to share or record information. And certainly this could be me talking about what I think now, not what the group said, but I mean my view is that it is rarely are those things causal. They might be important, but usually it is to do with failure to analyse, debate, properly evaluate and make sense of information. And in fact, the more proxy layers you put in the system, the less likely it is that people will actually do that work rather than just fill in a form and send it somewhere or log it somewhere. The other side of that, which is kind of quite negative about electronic information sharing, the other side of that is that there are obviously some families where particular members have complex needs, where we do know that families find it incredibly frustrating to keep telling the story over and over again to lots of different agencies. So we talked about the possibility of people keeping their own records and so on. But I don't think any of us were enchanted with the kind of techno-magic notion that if you just get a bigger and better database and that people share some kind of common language, then suddenly everything will be solved. In fact, on the contrary, it's likely to cause a lot of trouble.
Thank you. Yeah. Would Ross or John like to talk a bit about the GP extraction system workshop and what happened in there? We are a little under the cosh for time because
I'll just,
through the day.
I'll just speak very briefly about what happened. We first talked about the privacy gap, the problem that there's a big gap between what people say their preferences are for privacy and what people have people actually express these privacy preferences through their behaviour. There's more and more research which is beginning to help us understand why this is. It's to some extent about context. If you change the context and make privacy salient, people suddenly want it. It's also about learning, and as people learn what's actually happening with their data, they become more concerned. But there is nonetheless an underlying current of people refusing to just have stuff taken from them. Now, John did a very interesting experiment in his practice in Essex. He sent out questionnaires to 2,700 patients, and an enormous number, about 600 answers, which is way, way above what you normally get for mail shots. It's very strange to get a response over 5%. And basically, a small handful said that he could share all the information with the centre. A slightly larger handful said that they could share a summary. About something like 30% of all his patients said, over my dead body, they can't get any of it. And this really puts the kibosh on assumptions that silence can be presumed to mean consent, which is, of course, what people are trying to push through as amendments to the data protection regulation. And we have also Dave Roberts in the discussion, who's the senior responsible owner of GPES, and he put their view, which is that at present there are large numbers of sometimes quite illegal mechanisms used by PCTs and others to extract data from general practice. So GPES will improve the state of affairs by providing a single mechanism which will be subject to proper information governance mechanisms, but the actual mechanisms themselves are essentially only going to be built after Dame Fiona Caldicott reports on Friday, and the Secretary of State will be reporting with Dame Fiona, so the department will have gone through the process of deciding what it's actually going to do about the proposals. Once that's out, well, I mean, I presume we'll have the chance to go and beat up on our MPs if we don't like it. And alternatively beat up on Europe to get the data protection regulation into better shape, because that will provide underlying law for much practical purpose.
Right, lovely, thanks Ross. Ian, have you? Would you mind just coming and giving a quick rundown of what happened in your session, is that all right?
Well, very briefly, we were talking about anonymity and saying, well, what does that mean? How far is anonymity reversible? Are you really just talking about simple pseudonymity, where you take, say, obvious identifying details like name and date of birth off a record? Of course, those kind of records in practice can still very easily be reconnected. We talked a bit about the legal framework, not just in the UK, but the European Data Protection Directive and how it might change with the regulation and the European Convention, Article 8, privacy requirements. And we had some really interesting discussions. There were people from all sorts of different backgrounds looking at this from different perspectives. So.
Great. Lovely. Phil.
I guess that's me. Well, we had a rather full session, which I don't think I can do more than zip over. Some themes came out, one of which was something we hadn't particularly touched on, which is the level to which people are going to be discriminated against by decisions made about their data. If you act upon someone because of some information that you hold, people are going to suffer, and it touched on all sorts of groups of people. People in the black community with mental health issues was one that raised, but people being targeted for particular behaviours. So if you target smoking, you are going to tend to be targeting certain groups within society as well. And the dangers of creating a sort of data social underclass in that way. Some very good points raised about language, and I appreciate we're at the very beginning of a campaign here, talking about just general data literacy in the population. People still don't know, and I think that was a theme that other people picked up in their sessions, was people just don't know what is being done with their data, and I'm using the word data again. People pointed out quite rightly, with regard to your medical records, calling it data or information is a bit wishy-washy. It tones it down. It is your medical record. Yeah, that's something which people appreciate. So very helpful bits that were coming through there. We looked, to wrap up very, very quickly, we looked also at where we are heading. People asked a very good question. When you're starting the campaign, if you don't know what success looks like, you don't know where you're going. For us, it's in our name. It's medical confidentiality. But of course, we expand that to mean confidentiality in care as well, because the government and political parties have decided to merge the two. That means that we are attempting to align the interests of patient and GP, to align the interests of carer and person being given care services, being cared for. If we achieve that, then we will have achieved our goal, because that is where trust lies, which is where the interests come inside. Our opponents are trying to do exactly the opposite. They're trying to drive wedges between people, they're trying to make people report on people, they are trying to basically make the GP the person who's causing the patient the problem, when in fact it was the information centre or commissioning board forcing the GP to release or relinquish data. And just very quickly, it was a really good point. We have not today, we appreciate, except in maybe the single care record session, touched very much on social care. We appreciate that this is the case, but we are focused on an immediate and imminent fight over the care data and GPES stuff that was laid out this morning. It's just a purely sort of pragmatic thing. We can only tackle so much at once. We are aware of the huge issues that we're talking about. The system that we described this morning, where every event is coded, and they have computer systems, and they have all sorts of things that are passing data around already, is not reflected in the care system, which is very, very much more, lots and lots of different systems, not talking to each other, certainly not sort of coding. There was apparently some work done up in Scotland about trying to sort of find a sort of equivalence between read codes in health and some sort of equivalent in the social care area, that work hasn't been done at all in England. So even, and we must be successful in our initial battles, there is a much longer fight to be had as, you know, the vested interests around government itself try to push this agenda. Thank you.